We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, welcome back.
Can I ask you a funny question?
You may ask me anything you want.
This is on Twitter, and it made me laugh all night. Open question on this Friday. What would be the worst thing to hear right before you go under anesthesia?
Aw, damn.
Whoops!
Why?
That's the question. What would be the worst thing to hear right before going under anesthesia? Someone put that out there on Twitter. Some of the replies are hilarious.
What else?
But
aw,
damn, is pretty funny. Let me pull some of them. Fingers crossed.
Remember that one commercial?
Yes.
What was that?
Yes. Hang you on. Nervous? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, been a while. Welcome back, doctor. Hang on. I'm going to try to find it.
Here's one. The worst thing I've ever heard under anesthesia during surgery is, crap, I think she's awake. Oh, God.
Oh, that's no good. That's no good. Okay, here it is. Hang on, I got it. Wait. It's for AT&T. All right, let me see.
Someone else wrote in the fire alarm.
Oh, yeah, that'd be bad.
Do you want fries with that?
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
So good.
Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Here's another one from Velvety Mole on Twitter. I'd be amazed if she survives this.
Oh, man.
This is a true story. The last time I had surgery, swear to you, I was in a very exposed state.
Were you getting a colonoscopy?
No.
What were you getting?
This was fun surgery.
Oh, those.
I was in an exposed state for corrective surgery.
Enhancing surgery.
Corrective.
Oh.
And the... Why are the anesthesiologists always so hot? They are always...
Before you get it?
Smoking hot.
Was it a dude?
Yeah, and he comes in and he's like, oh, just checking the boxes. Yep, you're fine. This is going to be super simple.
Check my boxes.
Oh, yeah. And he looks over and he goes, I swear to you, he goes, looks at the chart, looks at me, looks at the chart, and he goes, I listen to you all the time.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I am literally hanging out of my gown and I'm like... Great.
Oh, no. Like, everything's exposed up here?
I was out and marked with a Sharpie and all. Yes.
Do you think... I've always found this interesting, yet weird, I guess, at the same time. When you've done so many of those kinds of surgeries...
Oh, yeah. They don't care. I was like, I've had four kids.
But you're yeah, right.
They didn't used to look like this.
There's a reason I'm here. I was not born like this. I swear to God.
It's okay.
But to them, you're that's like,
Why do they always have to be so good looking? I'm telling you, I've never been an ugly anesthesiologist. I think it's a thing.
I don't know.
I think when they're choosing their track in med school, they're like, you, hearts and brains. You, oh, hello, you. You're an anesthesiologist.
You go knock him out. Knock out. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I just remember thinking, I hope I don't do anything.
And, like, you know, I get a lot of colonoscopies because I enjoy them. And when I'm going in to get a colonoscopy, by the way, I'm going to be off a day in September because I'm due for another one. But they're, you know, they always say roll over on your side because they have to get you ready and everything. And your butt's exposed and you're hypersensitive about it. But you're like the one of 15 butts they're going to
that
see
day.
That day before lunch.
So I've told this story, but I'll tell it again, but I have to change her name. A good friend of mine is a very sought after, accomplished colorectal surgeon. And one of our friends, all of our kids went to school together. And one of our friends, of course, we use her. I mean, you know, and one of our friends went in to get the job done. And before he went into surgery, he had his wife with a Sharpie marker put, "Hi, Laura," on each cheek.
Oh, is that right?
So in the OR, when they flipped him over, his butt said hi to her, and she said they hit the ground. They were laughing so hard.
Good. All right.
So if you know your colorectal specialist,
they're
sticky note a little hello down there.
You mean a proctologist? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Story here from CNN. Comedian Kevin Hart has upped the ante in the epic prank wars between himself and his friend Nick Cannon by broadcasting his friend's cell phone number on a billboard for anyone needing advice on fatherhood. In a post shared on Instagram on Thursday, the fatherhood actor, who's 42, explained that it was payback after Cannon bought him a llama for his birthday. He wrote on Instagram, "Since my brother Nick Cannon decided to buy me a llama for my B-Day, I decided to do something nice for him as well. Here is the digital billboard in Los Angeles." And the billboard has a picture of Kevin Hart with his llama.
Oh, my gosh.
And it says, if you for any advice on fatherhood, call my best friend Nick Cannon. And then it gives the number on the bottom of the billboard.
You don't think that's really the number, do you?
Yes.
Should we call it?
No.
Why?
Cannon later appeared to confirm that the cell phone did indeed belong to him by revealing that he had been inundated with calls from fans in a video on Instagram.
Grant, call the number.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yes, it's his number!
And what if he answers it with a voice message that says, go blank yourself or something?
Well, that's why I'm having Grant do it off the air. And then if he picks up, say, you're on the air in Kansas City.
Off the air, Grant, please.
Are you ready for the number?
No.
It's on a billboard.
I'm not okay with you giving that number out on the air. I think that's a mistake.
Like he's Paul McCartney. He's famous for not being able to keep you know what out of you know where.
Well, he was married to Mariah Carey.
You know what bothers me about this? All of these jokes going around about Nick Cannon, if that was a woman that had like 26 kids by 26, oh my gosh, you would never hear the end of it. He's on a billboard with a llama and people are laughing about it. He's got like 9 sets of twins.
This really bothers you.
Well, it bothers me because it's so, it's irresponsible. But, I think he had 3 women pregnant at once.
At the same time. That is correct.
My God, just pick one, man.
He can't. He struggles.
Anyway, did you find the number, Grant? No. Do you want me to tell it starts with a 3?
No, you don't.
Just Google it and call. I want to see if he picks up.
All right. Story here. We'll go ahead and get the calls lined up on this because I know this will generate a lot of conversation. The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved language in its annual defense policy bill that would require women to register for the draft. The National Defense Authorization Act, approved by the committee, amends the Military Selective Service Act. And I'm quoting here. These are in quotes. Amends the Military Selective Service Act to require the registration of women for selective service. The United States has not instituted a draft since Vietnam. And Pentagon officials have repeatedly said they intend to keep the force all volunteer. I'm sure they did prior to 1941 as well. But men ages 18 through 25 still to this day have to register with what is officially known as the Selective Service System or face consequences such as losing access to federal financial aid for college. Congress has been debating whether to expand the registration requirement to women since all combat jobs were open to female service members in 2016. So this is not law yet. This is not law yet. But it has passed out of a Senate committee, presumably on to the Senate for a vote, then to the House, and then to the President if it passes. Would that be a problem? We don't really use the draft, haven't used it in over 40 years. But if we were to find ourselves in a World War III or something, it's possible, I guess, that a draft would have to be instituted again. Sure, prior to Vietnam, they didn't think there would be a draft. From the text line, welcome to the world of equity, ladies. This is it.
Oh, I knew. I was waiting for that text to come in.
576-7798. And then another texter says, this is dumb. Okay. 576-7798. We're checking on this, by the way. Yes, text line, we are aware. Rumors going around that Oklahoma and Texas have left the Big 12. We're trying to figure that out as well. But that story seems to be breaking as we speak.
We were 10 and then we were 12, but we've never been 10 or 12. And now if this is true, are we back to Big 8?
I don't know.
Remember the Big 8?
And what marquee programs?
Are we 9? Maybe we stop calling the conferences the number of schools that are supposed to be involved.
What marquee teams would we have in football if those two left? Keep looking.
Just looked at the map. I'm like, nope.
Keep looking. 576-7798 on this idea of requiring women to register for the draft. It's in a Senate bill. It's not a law yet. 576-7798. Listening to Dana and Parks here on KMBZ.
I've got another confession to make.
From the text line, two completely opposite points of view. One is going to drive you crazy, Dana. 5392 writes in, I was in the military for 23 years and I'm a female. I volunteered. Yes, women should be made to do selective service just like the guys. But 6087 writes, most women could not physically or mentally handle combat and should not be drafted.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing for young men back during the draft?
Possibly.
So when you say you are going to go do this, yeah, you're going to end up with about, name the percentage of young men who really didn't want to go do that.
And who physically and mentally are not capable of handling it. Just because you're a guy does not mean that you are inherently or innately born with the ability to handle combat.
Yes, and just because you're a woman doesn't mean you weren't innately born not to handle those things.
That's fair.
But I think any draft, you are going to have a pretty high percentage of people who don't want to be there.
I'm opposed to the draft of men and women. I think it's foolish. This idea that we're just going to just willy-nilly pick people and just assume that they're ready to go off to fight. Or do we draft them because we need targets so that other people can survive and continue fighting? I don't know. But the Senate panel has approved a bill that would make selective service a requirement for women when they turn 18 years of age. Okay. I have aged out, and that's fine. Breaking news out of the Big 12. This is from the Dallas Morning News. Texas and Oklahoma are expected to notify the Big 12 next week of their intention to leave the league and join the SEC. A source says, quote, the feeling is they'll then notify the SEC and officially apply for league membership. Texas and Oklahoma, according to a number of sources right now, are on the verge. The deal is all but done, says another story, for Texas and Oklahoma to leave the Big 12.
Okay, so if they leave the Big 12 and join the SEC,
right?
How many teams does the SEC now have?
It would be quite a few.
It's quite a few. Do you see where I'm getting, where I'm going with this? How long can we keep tipping the imbalance within conferences?
Let me see how many teams they have, right? They have 14 members right now.
So they would have 16, and then would we not drop to,
I'll have to look up nine?
I don't know. Big 12's never had 12.
Well, it did for a while.
The Big Eight used to have eight, and then in the late 90s we had 12, but I don't know that we've had 12 in a while.
There are 10 in the Big 12. It says 10 and 12 affiliate members. I don't know what that means.
So we would drop back down to the Big Eight.
It would be Baylor, follow me here, Baylor, Iowa State, KU, K-State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. It would be nine. There would be nine teams. And then they have affiliate members, the Air Force Academy, University of Missouri. No, they're in the SEC. They're not affiliates. I think what they mean by affiliates is they compete in like one or two sports.
Okay, so what happens when one or two more dominoes fall and you end up with one conference with five or four, and then you have another conference with 20?
It becomes like the Southwest Conference.
Yes.
Back in the day, it just ceases to exist. You may recall back in the 90s.
Was that WAC?
No, it was the SWC, the Southwest Conference. Mm. We added Baylor, Texas, Texas Tech, and one other. TCU all came, I think, when the SWC fell apart. Or Texas, maybe. No. Texas A&M came up. Sorry, I'm getting my team screwed up here. But a bunch of the Texas teams moved in when the Southwest Conference fell apart. And they joined the Big 12. What was then the Big 8? Big 12 is going to die. This will kill the Big 12.
Eight or 10 or nine.
Iowa State's the only team that can still play football right now. Iowa State is the only good football team in the entire conference.
We won't have as many in-conference teams to play. That's clear. What else does it mean?
Money. Lots of money.
Yeah.
You lose Texas, you lose a ton of money. They have their own TV network. 576-7798. Quick break for the news. She's Dana. I'm Scott here on KMBZ.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Not a topic, but just to follow up on what we were discussing right before the news, that Texas and Oklahoma universities will be announcing early next week that they are moving to the SEC. Proof that when a sink ships, everybody jumps off. There are reports, and this is from the NBC affiliate in Chicago, Channel 5.
Already.
There are reports already that KU and Iowa State are in talks, or at least having conversations, I should say, having conversations with the Big Ten. That didn't take long.
Which would leave six?
Seven.
Seven.
Which we would leave.
Is that enough? Do you have to have a certain number for a conference?
People would argue it used to be the Big Six. But that was, 70 years ago. People would say, well, it was the Big Eight for a long time. So they would just need to pick up one other school
somewhere.
Yeah,
but you start flirting with six or five. That's not really a conference. That's
right. And where are you going to go? Who are you going to get? Are you going to bring in Rutgers out of the Big Ten? Are you going to go for Boise State? And who are you going to bring in? At some point, your conference becomes the uncool conference, and that appears to be what's going on with the Big 12 right now. The Big 12 is dead. It's over. When Texas and Oklahoma leave, two of your four top 25 teams in football are gone. It's over. Story here from the Kansas City Star. Missouri and Kansas are expecting to receive hundreds of millions of dollars in a nationwide settlement with opioid companies and distributors. Missouri could receive as much as $500 million, according to Attorney General Eric Schmidt.
With a B!
Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt's office has not released an estimated figure, but has announced they too are in line for a slice of the $26 billion settlement. The formula used to determine each state's share of the proposed settlement will factor in the number of overdose deaths per capita, the number of residents with a substance abuse disorder, and the number of opioids prescribed.
You want to guess? I'm going to look it up. The worst states for opioid overdose. Wasn't Ohio one of them?
Ohio's bad. I think Indiana's pretty bad.
West Virginia, yeah. Maryland, New Hampshire. Let me look at the top 10.
Yeah, that's right. New Hampshire, strangely, is really high.
Now, this says, this is 2015, and we know 2020 was so bad, was so much worse. Mm-hmm. So the stats are several years old. But for 2015, according to the CDC, it went West Virginia, worst, followed by New Hampshire, Kentucky, there's Ohio, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Utah, and Tennessee.
So it's all over the map.
It's all over the map. When you look at just opioid deaths, this was 2019.
Is this per capita?
West Virginia is still number one by far.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. West Virginia, Ohio, D.C., New Hampshire, Maryland, Maine, Massachusetts. Let me scroll down.
Do you remember, this was a handful of years ago.
Missouri comes in at 22. Kansas comes in at 45.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, we played the audio of the cop coming up on that car in Ohio?
Oh, God, with the kids in the car.
And there were kids in the back seat, and they were awake, and they were fine, thank God. And the couple, they were probably out. 40 or 50 years old, were passed out. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. I remember that part of the story, and they had the And the cops, remember the cops took pictures of them and posted them on social media, yeah, sort of a public shaming.
Oh, I remember it.
And that became, at least for a brief period of time, sort of the face of opioid addiction in America.
And one of the women got sober for a time. I never followed up, you know, a year later or 2 years later, but she said, this is not who I want to be for my son, that kind of thing. And I hope she's still alive and got some help.
Yeah.
The question I have about the settlement, these drugs are so bad and are so abused,
right,
they're now paying $500 million just to the state of Missouri for how bad they are. So right, multiply that by whatever other money they're dishing out to the other 49 states. If it's so bad, why do we even allow it?
Because you need to ask somebody who is in excruciating pain, and they will defend the use of opioids to the hilt.
But what is $500 million going to do to stop this? It's not.
I don't know. You get them into, help get people into treatment programs, but going back to what we discussed on Wednesday, you can't help those who don't want help. And if they're not willing to go through, and it is painful, either physically or psychologically, to go through the pain of withdrawal, then they're not going to get help. If they don't want to turn their life around, they're not going to get help. You can throw $500 million at it.
At a news conference yesterday in St. Louis, a lawmaker said this would, quote, be the largest victim-centric settlement the state of Missouri has ever seen. They say $500 million will go into the state's opioid abatement and treatment fund to fund programs, intervention efforts, resources, and more.
Okay. Now, we say all this.
Yeah, what does that mean? What does prevention mean? That is a lot of money. Who's going to be looking after that money?
You remember, though, before I poo-poo this whole thing about, you know, throwing all this money at prevention and deterring people from opioids, you remember back in the 90s when the states came to a huge settlement with the tobacco companies?
Yeah.
And part of it was that they were marketing to kids. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where that money went. I don't know what the states ever spent it on.
Do you really think they're going to spend $500 million on abatement programs for opioid? I don't.
Here's what I know. Fewer people smoke today than they did 25 years ago. I know that.
That's because it became uncool.
How did it become uncool? Was some of that money used for advertising campaigns that made people think that smoking is uncool? Getting somebody to stop smoking.
Like, where was the tipping point is what you're asking.
Right.
I don't know.
Getting people to stop smoking, I imagine, was harder than getting people to not start smoking.
But we don't have the same argument to be made with a heroin addict, Scott, because smoking used to be cool in the 60s and 70s, and then it became uncool. Well, injecting yourself with heroin has never been a cool thing.
No,
all the cool kids are doing it. It's not the same societal pressure either to do it or not do it that we saw with smoking.
But you could also make people aware, because a lot of people who get addicted to opioids aren't injecting heroin on the offset.
Not in the beginning.
And they're not popping pills. And I'm saying some do, but I'm not saying a lot of people don't just say, well, I'm going to start popping pills to get high and that's going to be fun. A lot of people who end up addicted to opioids are addicted to opioids because of something that happened to them physically.
It was prescribed.
Right.
We had someone call in. You remember this? It was knee surgery.
Yep. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is probably the most famous opioid addict. And he got it for, he had, I believe it was back surgery, if I'm not mistaken. And he got hooked on opioids back in the early 2000s. 576-7798. Somebody says, we are from rural Missouri. We know a girl who's been taken by Life Flight 13 times for overdosing. Jeez Louise.
My God.
576-7798. Missouri is in line to get $500 million in part of a settlement with opioid manufacturers and distributors. Kansas is going to get millions. We just don't know exactly how much. To do what? How do you stop this epidemic? Or do you just try to prevent it from getting worse? 576-7798. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, welcome back. Story from the Kansas City Star. Missouri and Kansas expecting to receive hundreds of millions of dollars in a nationwide settlement with opioid companies and their distributors. Attorney General Eric Schmidt says the state of Missouri could receive as much as $500 million. It's a $26 billion settlement. Reached between, among others, Johnson & Johnson, three distributors, Cardinal, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen. Yes, Dana Wright.
You want to guess how much the lawyers are getting? I looked it up.
On this settlement?
Yep.
It's a $26 billion settlement. I'm going to go with $10 billion.
Private attorneys will recoup nearly $2 billion, but none of the families that have lost loved ones or the estimated 1.6 million people with a substance use disorder will receive any cash.
More than 1,900 people died from overdoses in Missouri last year, 470 in the state of Kansas.
Is Missouri's population roughly three times larger than Kansas's?
It's twice as much.
It's twice as much.
Well, more than twice, but so they're, more than two times.
Their death rate is worse, despite the...
Slightly, yes.
Slightly worse, despite the adjustment for population.
Yes. Let's go to the phones. Who is first up? That would be Ashley in Shawnee. Ashley, hello. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
And to you.
11 years ago, I left my ex-husband. Before that, I had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And part of what triggers fibromyalgia is stress. I was in a bad marriage. I was prescribed 90 Vicodin a month, 90 Xanax a month, and 90 muscle relaxers every month.
Wow.
When I left him, I started looking into holistic approaches to handle my pain, and my pain levels went down once the divorce was final anyway. The withdrawal that I experienced from that was worse than the crack cocaine withdrawals that I experienced over 17 years ago. And I've been in recovery from the opiates, from all that, for over 11 years now, and crack cocaine for over 17. So
you survived, Ashley, the crack cocaine epidemic.
Yeah.
But did at the point that the doctor prescribed all of those heavy-duty narcotics as a recovering addict, did you ever think to yourself, and we're not judging, I'm just asking, that is a ridiculous amount of pills for anxiety, and that's coming from someone who has anxiety?
Yes, I think it was completely ridiculous, but he was the pain management doctor, and he knew about my previous issues with addiction, so I thought, well, he knows what he's doing. He's the doctor, right? And at that point, Dana, I was in so much pain every day to where even picking up my babies was difficult for me. So I had to do something to try to cope with it. Until you've experienced chronic pain like that,
You
have no idea how just depressing, and you get anxious about everything, and the anxiety makes the pain worse. Fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis are hells that I would not wish on my worst enemy.
Well, they Ashley, you know what? We are glad you are here because you are one of the ones that beat the odds, and we're glad that you're here.
Let's go to Colin in Kansas City. Hello, Colin.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Clear.
Go ahead.
Hey, great. So my name's Colin. My background is emergency department and trauma nursing. I was up in New Hampshire from 2008 till 2016, and I actually had the privilege of being the president of the New Hampshire Emergency Nurses Association. And during this time, we had many meetings at the state level, and I had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. to actually speak before Congress on this very point. So what we found was in New Hampshire, we started a whole program where we gave free Narcan out to anybody who walked into our emergency department and requested it.
Wow.
That led in itself to many other problems. I was in a rural hospital, 25-bed critical access hospital. Our surrounding area was about 10,000 population. We had a very high tourist destination. We're up in the White Mountains. And our issue was people were bringing in, towards the end, it was cheaper to buy heroin than it was to buy oxycodones
pills
off the street.
Right. And Colin, Colin, giving them Narcan, though, is treating the symptom, not the cause. I mean,
it
just keeps them alive.
It just keeps them alive to try to, or to try to get another high later.
Yes. And, you know, we used to know when they used to have heroin parties, the high school kids, because we would have 10 or 12 kids roll in on a Friday and get free Narcan. And we would call EMS and let them know, heads up, there's a heroin party somewhere in the valley tonight.
God.
So.
Wait, hang on, Colin. The kids would roll into the hospital and get Narcan in advance just in case.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And it was well known. I honestly think the state, the issue was so bad, they were just trying to save lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the Emergency Nurses Association, you know, we bought some of this on ourselves, as in the medical profession, but also our patients, really, they want pain relief and they want it now. And, you know, we're all fighting for excellent press Ganey scores. And, you know, the way you were getting that when they were rating hospitals on
right.
how well their pain was controlled. You know, at my hospital, towards the end, we in the emergency department, we went to a strictly no narcotic prescriptions unless you met certain criteria.
Good.
And then you got enough to get through to see your doctor on the Monday or the next following day.
Because the better rating, Colin, and I think you would agree with this, doesn't mean a damn thing if everyone leaves an addict.
Right. I've said before, America does not take pain well.
You mentioned tobacco. I just want to read this quickly. The precedent set by the big tobacco settlement 20 years ago is not promising for this settlement. It was paid very gradually over an extended period. Lawyers made around $10,000 an hour.
Damn.
And a seemingly large opioid settlement now will do very little immediate good to meet the urgent needs of current victims if they do this the way they did the tobacco settlement.
Don't forget, we've got Festus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks. News is next. We'll see you on the other side.
Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody...
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.